newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFond Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 98 years. And we're here today with Laura Capps, a board member of the Santa Barbara Union's Unified School District and a candidate for Santa Barbara County Supervisor. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, it has been exactly 3 years.
Yep.
Since you've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of us look any older. It's just amazing.
And now I know everything about education. So,
you do.
Yeah. 3 years later, total expert.
You know, that's the problem. People become experts when they're ready to leave. You know, it took that time. I know.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
Let's talk about the school district. That does require a great deal of effort. You know,
yeah.
It's a volunteer job without much spotlight, but it's really quite a haul.
Yeah, it is quite a haul. That's a nice way of putting it. It's been a wonderful experience, but a lot of work and a lot of tricky things to navigate through. But I've enjoyed it. It's been a really good experience.
One of the most difficult constituents is our mothers.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if you noticed that.
I tend to hear a little bit from my mom now and then.
Yeah. Right.
Mostly good.
when you look back on your experience, there were a lot of things that happened and a lot of things that you needed to respond to. One of the things that comes up in my mind is school safety.
Yes.
And that required, even in the 3 years that you've been on it's about 3 years you've been on the board now?
Yeah, almost 3 years.
Yeah. So, and that has really been more in the news, unfortunately. And so what has the school board done about it?
Yeah, that's been a strong focus of mine since the beginning of my time on the board. I'm proud of the steps that we've taken. When that first few months when I came in, we had just a lot of focus on it and tried to push to make our school safety plans. Each school has their own school safety plan. We've made them much better, much stronger, involved parents in the drafting of them so people know what's happening. And we've hired a school safety officer, coordinator actually, Kelly Moore, who came from the Sheriff's Department. And he's really going around it with each school and making sure that there's just common protocols so that in emergency response, which these responses are changing with emerging threats like active shooter scenarios, et cetera, making sure that the staff and the teams are really up to speed on what the latest advice is from experts on how to respond. So I think we've taken a lot of steps forward. We've also improved our communication between each, so that if something happens, an incident happens on a campus, that the time between action and that that incident being reported is as quick as can be. So we have a new app that staff and teachers have on their phones in order to communicate as quickly as possible.
One of the things about being a teacher in this time of our history is what is being put on their shoulders. We had someone on a few months ago, who, suicide prevention, and they're teaching the teachers how to be able to sense when someone is in trouble. Here we have gun safety. We have to make sure that the teachers are aware of the problems of just safety. Everything that everything our kids are facing, we turn around and look at the teachers as
I know.
First line of defense.
I know. I've tried to not do that in my mind because it's easy to go there. Oh, the teachers should do this, or they should teach mindfulness. They should do this, they should do that. And there's so much pressure upon them and so many fewer minutes of the day that they actually have kids. But school safety, I mean, it's safety for teachers as well. Our schools, unfortunately, have been a target of sociopaths who carry out this kind of violence. And it's something I think about as a mom too often when I'm walking my son to school, just thinking, oh man, I hope today's a safe day for all involved. But it's just, we have an epidemic in this country. One thing I'm proud of to work with is Moms Demand Action. They've got a great program just to make sure that there's 4.6 million guns in this country that aren't locked. They're loaded and they're not locked. And so if we just do that, because studies have shown that most school shootings have occurred by youths who've gotten access to a gun from an adult in their life. And so if we just cut that access down by locking up our guns, that's a one way to make a difference, and something that Moms Demand Action here locally is pushing, and I'm helping them.
One of the other problems of this whole epidemic of violence in the schools is what it does to the kids psychologically.
I know.
You know, I remember when I was going to kindergarten and first grade during nuclear threat. You
right.
know, we went under a desk, but this is scarier. This is not sitting under a desk and having some hypothetical bomb drop on you. It's about watching on television, seeing kids, you know, running from their school. So
I
it's
know.
Really. It really requires everything from police action to psychology.
It does. I think it's Pete Buttigieg who says he's part of the Columbine generation, where this is what they've known, right? Mm-hmm. This is what kids unfortunately know when they go to school, something that especially older kids in high school just should know to think about. It's tragic. We just pray and hope that nothing impacts our schools here, but we certainly have had some threats in recent years, especially at San Marcos, and it's been hard on the students. It's been hard on the staff. It creates a lot of terror and a lot of anxiety on already anxious kids, because they also have all these other social media pressures and things, and it's just one extra big layer of a source of anxiety.
Dave Cash was on about 4 years ago, and I asked him what is his most important what he wanted to accomplish as a priority in his remaining days at the school. And he said it's finding a way of having everyone be part of the same family. There was really, at his view, and I think it's true, such a diverse economic, socioeconomic constituency of parents and students, that, and he felt that it wasn't quite there, where everyone was friendly with everyone, and both
sure.
the parents and the kids. How's that come? How's that coming?
I mean, that was an issue when I went to schools here in Santa Barbara, Santa Barbara Junior High and Santa Barbara High School. There was a lot of division. I mean, they're wonderful places, but it's a really tough thing to crack. We have to keep trying, though. You have to keep trying. There's a lot more emphasis now on social and emotional learning, which was something that on the school board we've advocated for, which means more attention to what they call softer skills of compassion and fairness and character in the classroom, and teaching those things. My son certainly gets taught that in his classroom in third grade. I think it's a tough, like I said, a tough nut to crack, but you just have to approach it from all different angles. And having, you know, a leader at the top like Dave Cash, who would espouse, you know, I remember him saying, you just want to make sure every kid is seen every day by an adult who's at the campus. And that's a really important point.
AHA is, you know, one of the
sure.
groups that really
yeah.
is working on social emotional intelligence. And, you know, I found that in my life, that was more important than your grades in graduate
yes.
school. Because if you are not functional as a mature adult who can get along with other people, you're not going to succeed.
Right.
So it's use the term soft skills. It's really, and that's sort of almost a pejorative. It's not
it is.
Soft.
Yeah, I didn't mean.
It's really a necessary
skill. Life skills.
Life skills.
To how to get along with people, how to work together, how to achieve something collectively. Yes, super important, and things that I've relied on a lot more, like you, than a lot of the things I might have learned from the textbooks, but just really important.
Is there work about bias training so that kids understand, whether it's either through restorative justice or whether it's just
yeah.
through just general education, the harm is done to yourself and the person that you
sure.
maybe.
Yeah, there is restorative justice approaches for discipline, but there also is, we do implicit bias training. That's been one of the things under the microscope with Just Communities. We have a small program mostly geared towards the adults. It's a volunteer program that allows teachers and staff to participate in implicit bias trainings, which, you know, most corporations do, if not almost all corporations do in other places of education, to make sure that those who are in the position, in that privileged position of interacting and teaching our kids, understand their own biases, and that we all have. As much as we don't think we might, it's important to examine the way that we've grown up and the implicit biases that we take with us every day.
Speaking of bias training, is there any need for, and do you do any type of Me Too training among the staff?
Oh, sure. Yeah. In fact, we just strengthened our sexual harassment policy on the board. It was something that I was happy to be a part of. Just we reviewed the policy and made it even more in favor of those who come forward, and the requirement that they're, whoever they come forward to needs to take it up the chain immediately, and made that into a requirement rather than sort of a suggestion.
And, I'm sure you believe that all whistleblowers should be unveiled and made public. We won't get into politics.
That's right. On an important day in politics right now.
Very important day.
Yes.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Laura Capps, Santa Barbara Unified School District Board Member, candidate for Santa Barbara County Supervisor, and eventual governor of the state of California. one more question about one of the things we've been talking about. Some of the things we were talking about before the break is school safety and social-emotional learning and sustainability. Is an issue that, you know, I see from the meeting yesterday is something you're taking seriously about putting in a environmentally improved system of power. So you're not just talking the talk, you're walking the walk?
Absolutely. One of the reasons I ran for school board is to make our schools a model of sustainability. And we're having this conversation today on a great day because it's the day after a board meeting where we really took a big step forward, a massive step forward to solarize all of our buildings, all that can be. And it's just the first step. It's to start the process to look into what they call a power purchase agreement so that an entity can not have to pay up front the cost of the installation, but rather borrow it that way so that there won't be any immediate costs for the district but there will be immediate savings. And for me, it's bigger than this, just the savings. It's so important. But it's also, I believe, as taxpayer-funded entities, that we need to, as you said, walk the walk. And, you know, we obviously have a climate crisis in our planet, and we need to be doing as much as we can. And I believe that taxpayer-funded buildings should be the first. And we're not. We don't have any. We only have one solar-powered building in all of our schools in the district right now, and we need them to be all. I mean, and plus we need our students to be more. They're way ahead of us, and we need to show them that as administrators and as staff that we understand that this is the crisis that they're inheriting. This is going to be affecting them and their kids and their grandkids more than us. And so to have schools really be the models of sustainability has so many different benefits from their education, from their knowledge that things are, you know, that we're doing what we can.
And speaking of what's in the news, the DACA case finally came up to the Supreme Court. How much stress, you know, to be a teen in any environment is very difficult. How does the whole immigration issue touch our students? I mean, are these kids really frightened that they're going to go home and their parents aren't going to be home?
Yeah, we certainly heard a lot of that, and it makes my heart break because, like I said earlier, there's so much anxiety and stress just being a kid in general. And we, you know, after President Trump was elected, one of the first actions our school board took was to pass a resolution that was inspired by now Assemblywoman Monique Lamone to declare our schools safe spaces, welcoming of all families, regardless of immigration status. And we did that, and then we did a series of town halls at schools to communicate this message. It's a tough message because we can't, I mean, even though we want and intend for our schools to be safe, we can't 100% guarantee that there won't be in this administration an ICE raid. We don't think so. They're called sensitive areas, which means that they're not supposed to be. But my point is, yes, I believe there is a lot of anxiety. And yesterday with the Supreme Court moving forward on deciding DACA, DACA is something I am strongly supportive of. I worked to support it in the Obama administration when I was there working with advocates before I moved back to Santa Barbara. I hope that the Supreme Court does the right thing for our nation and also for the many families that would impact here in Santa Barbara County.
So, immigration reform is really high on the list of both parties. The difference is that one of them want to just get rid of everybody. One of the problems that I remember when I was involved with City College is I think we had, in those days, we had three counselors for 24,000 kids.
Yeah.
Right now, in the Unified School District, I would think you need a lot of counselors. Do you have enough in terms of, you know, budget restraint? Is there enough counselors to help these kids who are in stress?
Yes, we've hired a lot more school counselors. We've hired also partnering with CALM. We have a push on mental health to bring more of CALM and other counselors into the classroom as opposed to just the model previously was to refer out. So if someone's struggling, they get a referral to a therapist. Whether or not they actually go is the question mark. So now we've moved to, even though with a price tag, we've raised money from some private entities, thankfully, to bring more mental health services into our schools, into our classes.
So one last problem that seems to be across the country is drugs and and alcohol. And alcohol is sort of a silent thing, but more kids are dying of alcohol in colleges because they're just so irresponsible. But is there a problem with drugs and alcohol and pot in our schools?
100%. Yeah, it's really depressing. The pressures and the ages in which it starts. Kids are coming to school intoxicated. They're coming to school with pot, marijuana in their backpacks. Vaping is a massive epidemic. We're seeing it. Our suspension rates for vaping have increased 100% this year over last year. I mean, it is a newish type fad, but it's a really dangerous one and one that we're paying close attention to. And with vaping is THC is now being vaped, I guess if that's a verb. I think it is. And that's what's causing the deaths that we've seen across the country. The county of Santa Barbara has now declared vaping such a serious issue that if there's any respiratory problems, they need to be identified quickly from medical professionals. So, yeah, drugs and alcohol is a big problem here in our school district. It's the number one way in which kids get suspended and unfortunately sometimes expelled, and something that we have to deal with on the school board and our staff and teachers and principals deal with every day.
And this is another responsibility that gets pushed back to
the teachers. Yep. So they have to now identify a vaping pen, and it's really hard. It looks like a USB drive.
So final question before we go to break. When you leave the board, when you become county supervisor, what's the unfinished business you hope that they do?
Sure. Well, I do want to be clear that I'm fulfilling my four-year term, so I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving the school board. I ran for a four-year term, and I will complete that in end of 2020. So, but yeah, there's a lot to do, and we now get to hire a superintendent, and that is the most important role of a school board member. So I am honored and excited to be part of that process, because that's the best thing we can do on the school board, is to usher in a great new person at the helm of this wonderful district where we get to live. So that's will be our primary focus between now and the end of this year.
So what are the three top questions you're going to ask the applicant?
Well, I mean, our biggest priority and our biggest challenge is this, you know, this achievement gap. It's a buzzword, but we know it, you know, just the fact that too many students of different ethnicities aren't achieving the same way as more privileged and white students are. And that's the number one challenge in our schools. I, of course, will be asking about sustainability, because that's such a passion of mine. And also poverty is a passion of mine. And we have the second highest poverty rate in this county, something that doesn't get talked about nearly enough. But we need somebody at the helm of the school district who fully understands that this is a district where poverty is persistent, and families and kids are coming to school with so many inherent challenges that we need to try to help them overcome.
Do you look at the schools, the scores that the school has by ethnicity?
We do. Yeah.
So how are is it? We have like 60% of the kids are Hispanic in our community.
Yeah, Latinx. Yeah.
Is there a difference in scoring between Hispanics and white kids?
Yes, unfortunately, there shouldn't be. There shouldn't be, but there is.
But there is. So, well, it's true of the whole country. That is, economic well-being is a tell for how well you're going to do in test scores.
Yeah.
So part of the, you know, if anyone makes an accusation about our scores, it's really partly a result of the composition of the students. Now, that's not an excuse that we should be able to live with, because we should bring everybody up,
sure,
but it's more understandable.
Yes. And many of our students are English learners, so there is just a built-in challenge right there that they have to, I mean, it's a wonderful reality to be able to be multilingual,
yeah,
and multiliterate, but that, there you go. I mean, that is something for teachers to work with. It's a challenge.
Yeah, I'm an English learner, too. I'm trying to get rid of my New York accent. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
and all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Laura Capps, a member of the Santa Barbara Unified School District Board and a candidate for Santa Barbara County Supervisor. Now, one of the questions I like to ask guests is, what got you interested in being involved in politics? But I think everyone knows that answer. So
actually, not necessarily.
Okay, well,
yeah.
Okay, let me ask the question.
I love it. I mean, I'm proud that my family has been in this realm for a while, but it was me who, and my mom and dad would say this, I started just paying attention and running for things. I was president of my sixth grade at Roosevelt and ran same at Santa Barbara Junior High and Santa Barbara High School. I was president of the student body. So I just started paying attention and really had my sights set on Washington, D.C. I went there as a nine-year-old with my family for a spring break trip. And I remember walking around one of the memorials, and my dad said, you know, you could work here someday. And I said, really? And this is long before they were, I mean, my dad was at the time a college professor and my mom was a nurse. And I said I could, and I remember that moment, and I decided to do it. So as I got to Washington before they did. Again, that sounds kind of funny to say it that way, but most people assume that I was sort of groomed for this or it was just part of the deal. But I had a very normal childhood. My parents didn't get involved in politics until I was in my mid-20s, and I was already working in Washington, D.C.
That's I'm glad I asked.
I know.
I thought that I just – the narrative that I had heard was just, you know, it's like, you know – well, you know, it's really – I think it's important for kids who are parents of politicians because I think they probably learn a lot, like the Trump kids probably. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. See, that's the problem is you put me in the same category.
No, but you didn't get involved in running your mother's candidate office.
Yeah, yeah. And, it, you know, even more than that, too, I grew up in a house of people of faith, and my mom and my dad both, and really public service was connected to a sense of wholeness and spirituality for us. And so just volunteering for things and being active in the community. I remember when we got to high school, the sort of the soft rule in our household was you could go to church or you could do an hour and a half of, you know, community service like at a food bank. And I think as a teenager, I thought, well, church is kind of easier, so I'll do that. But just it stems from this sense of that I'm happily inherited from my parents of giving back to your community and connecting in a way that you really understand that we're all in this together and the golden rule and these wonderful values that I was lucky to have.
So what exactly is the role of a county supervisor? It seems, looking from the outside, that impactful to do something impactful is what you're doing now. You're changing and helping kids, which is the next generation coming up. You know, what does a supervisor do?
That's a great question. The supervisor. I say we're on the front lines. Supervisors are on the front lines of government, which really means as much about making things function for people's lives and protecting and strengthening the quality of life. So that means that the sheriff's department needs to function well to protect us. That when we have fires and floods, unfortunately, that our emergency services work. It's the basic functioning. It's the mental health department. It's the public health department. So that if there's some sort of outbreak, we have the adequate response. It's functioning. And I say that in context because I have gotten questions of, why are you running against a Democrat? Well, the state of California has in our constitution that every local office needs to be nonpartisan, can't be partisan. And so there's no D or R after anybody's name when they run for supervisor. And I think that's a really important point. As much as I am a Democrat and a progressive, I worked for Democrats and progressive causes for, 25 years. The role is more about just helping people, plain and simple, and answering the phone call because you're having an issue with your neighbor over an AUD or something's not working with water. It's much more service-oriented.
As far as you know, because you're not there yet, is it, in terms of the supervisors, is it more functional than our current Congress and Senate, where nobody likes anybody, if they're not wearing the same
letter? Oh, it has to be. Right. Yeah, it's not.
Is it more collegial? I mean,
Because it's not. It's about the functioning of local government and services. So there can't be an impasse. You couldn't have a shutdown, right? Like you can have a government shutdown on the federal level. You can't, and it doesn't function that way. And you need to have three votes out of the five to get things passed and to get things moving. And we have, as far as I understand, a lot of collegiality on the board and something I look forward to being a part of.
So what would your priorities be? What would you like to accomplish in the first year or two of your supervision?
That's great. I think first and foremost, people need to feel safe when they're going to sleep at night in their homes. And so we have, I call it a climate safety need. I want to put forward a climate safety plan that pulls together all of the innovation, drives more of the innovation so that we know that we're going to be having these extreme weather events like we had with the Thomas Fire and the mudslide. It won't be that necessarily. It might be something different. And that's what we need as a county. This is really ground zero for climate change related. We have a ocean sea level rise. We have these mountains that move. We have extreme weather events. So that's first priority is to pull together and make a comprehensive plan on how we're dealing with climate safety. Number two would be income inequality and the fact, like I mentioned, that we have the second highest rate of poverty. And we need to do that. And that impacts everything. Housing prices. People can't afford to live here. So then they live in Ventura and elsewhere. And then that's why we have one reason why we have so much traffic congestion. So poverty and income inequality is number two. But number three, it's really an approach to governing. I want to be, as I hope I've been on the school board, somebody who listens and bringing in all sides and listening to whomever, regardless of what I think their position may be, because that's the role. The role is to be the responsive, constituent service oriented type of leader.
And this first district includes sort of the map is pretty kind of narrow and long.
Yes,
it's almost looked like it was gerrymandered. I know it wasn't, but
what appeals to me about the map is that it's the area that was most impacted from the Thomas Fire and mudslide, and this is a unique time in our history of this community to not just rebuild, but to be as innovative as possible, and to make sure that we don't just put things back together, but we actually fortify and we strengthen and we think ahead 10, 20, 30 years of what future threats might be. And that's one of the reasons why I decided to run, is looking at that map and realizing it's Carpinteria, it's Montecito, it's Summerland, it's most of Santa Barbara, including the mountains of Santa Barbara, San Roque, and Mission Canyon.
There was an article in the Los Angeles Times, I think it was in December of last year, maybe it was in the winter sometime, and it talked about what I think is really something that I don't see people really getting getting alarmed about, but there was, in order to save money over the last 30 to 50 years, there was never an attempt to build more debris flow basins. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they almost, I think they did, came close to closing the one near Cold Springs. There's a tension between a low percent in terms of people's minds, disaster, and spending money, tax dollars today.
Sure.
Which is a tough thing for a politician to deal with.
You know,
had you spent money 25 years ago on a debate basin, people would have probably been mad.
Well, actually, I've researched this. I wrote a piece in The Independent on climate resilience. And the statistic is that for every dollar you put in prevention to a disaster, you save $7 in recovery. So it's very wise to do these kinds of actions, even though you're right. They're hard to they're hard to pass and they're hard to budget for. But it's what we need to be doing now as people are still paying attention. You know, human nature is such that there's something strikes and there's a disaster and people are so motivated. But we only have a short window to really make meaningful impacts.
It's amazing as you drive around Montecito now, you can finally, it tipped. You now see it's really improving, the mm-hmm. look of the place.
Yeah.
It was pretty depressing the first 18
sure.
months afterwards, and now you begin to see building take
sure.
place.
Sure. And you mentioned basins. I've been meeting frequently with Curtis Skeen, who has the nonprofit to build more basins, and certainly the Partnership for Resilient Communities that's responsible for putting in the nets. I've been learning as much as I can from those folks, and the innovation. When I say innovation, that's kind of what I have in mind. They went out and found, what are other countries doing and brought some of that technology here to our area. But yeah. What are the other things we could be doing?
Yeah, and one of the things that, just that I have you here, so I can whine about it, but I think the one thing that the government didn't do well, and they did a lot of things well during that crisis period, was not letting people back sooner after the fires. I think part of the fatigue of evacuation is they waited, and there was a lot of frustration in the last week. And it wasn't really communicated. It was sort of, this is the way it's going to be, and we'll let you know.
I think we learned a lot about evacuation and who does evacuate and how those lines are and how those decisions are made.
We were thinking when we were so sick of being evacuated that maybe we'd buy a condominium up in Pismo Beach. And I remember the last big rainfall right after the debris flow, I think it was March, we're sitting in someone's house that invited us in to stay. And the news was Santa Barbara really missed it, but there's flooding in Pismo Beach. So right. You got to be careful where you go.
Right.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
We
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Laura Capps, a candidate for Santa Barbara County Supervisor and a member of the Santa Barbara Unified School District School Board. So you're also the chair of the Commission for Women.
I was a chair. I'm no longer on. I stepped off that board when I joined the school board.
Oh.
But I was a chair. You're right.
You weren't thrown off for any
no. I wasn't asked to. No. It was just a time capacity issue.
And
I did a term and a half on the commission.
So, but that's okay. What's happening? Are women getting a better deal now today? Are there more?
Oh, wow, that's a big question.
Well, no,
in
I
general.
Mean, no, I mean in terms of corporations, in terms of politics. You know, this whole impeachment thing, there have been more and more women's faces involved in being the leaders. You see more and more corporate executives in Fortune 500 companies are women. So, you know, just from an outsider without daughters, it seems like there's progress being made.
There's progress, but we still have a long way to go. I mean, it's wonderful to see those faces when you watch C-SPAN. But, I mean, you know, we still have just 100 women in a body that has 435 members. So that's a great thing, but let's put it in perspective. Yeah. I mean, it's really a tough place to work as a woman. A lot of places are tough and don't favor especially working moms in sort of workplace practices. We still have a huge pay equity disparity and challenges, but I mean, things are improving to some degree.
It can't be that bad. Nancy Pelosi doesn't seem to be intimidated.
Well, I know. I love Nancy Pelosi, and here we are talking on the day of the impeachment hearing starting, and there's a lot of excitement, but a long way to go. And you brought up the Women's Commission. One project that I spearheaded on the Women's Commission is that we have all these boards and commissions throughout Santa Barbara County, most of which are filled by men. And so one way to just get more women involved in local government is to encourage them and recruit them to be a part of a commission, a planning commission or a creeks commission or an arts commission. We've got a lot of opportunities, and it's a great way for women and anybody to get involved in our local community.
And you're also a advocate for hunger issues.
I am, yeah.
Which is interesting because we're one of the richest communities in the country.
I know.
That has a very huge...
And we produce most... we're up very up top in terms of agriculture production, yeah. Yet we're also up top in terms of too many kids are hungry and too many families are hungry. Yeah. I've been working with Jeff Bridges for the last 7 years here to try to reverse that. We focused on summer, which is when hunger really... is the highest because kids aren't attached to the wonderful food that they get in our schools.
And this is directly related to student success, because if a student doesn't have protein in
100%,
their stomach,
yep.
they're not going to learn. You can
right.
have all the teaching
right.
skills and...
exactly.
So what's just amazing is, you know, a lot of things are amazing in what goes on in politics, but cutting food programs, food aid programs for students is one of the most insane views I can imagine. It's just
yeah.
crazy.
Yes.
So we talked about one of the other problems in the schools, which is drugs. And one of the problems with drugs is use of pot, which is rampant. And we are now, as I understand it, one of the number one pot producers in the country.
Yeah.
You know, Carpinteria is going to be known as the pot capital of the world.
We
produce more marijuana than they do in upstate California, which used to be.
Humboldt, yep.
Which is really quite an amazing
yep.
situation. How did we get there?
We got there because our leaders wrote the most permissive ordinance around, and it's been documented by the LA Times and elsewhere that, you know, the industry, this new cannabis industry, which is a new one, a lot of outside sources, companies from Canada and back east, et cetera, their lobbyists made demands, and our, unfortunately, our leaders agreed to them. And so now we have a really huge issue, and I went back to quality of life. People's quality of life, and especially in Carpinteria, has been severely impacted without a lot of foresight, in my mind. We basically opened the floodgates, and for me, the most egregious part is that cannabis cultivation was allowed to be put right next to schools within 750 feet, which is only really two football fields. And there's just not enough known about the impacts of that kind of exposure to this very, very pungent, strong-smelling plant, because we don't, there's very little federal research because it's been an illegal product. So now the schools in Carpinteria are just surrounded by it.
So isn't there a way to play devil's advocate of mitigating that? Aren't there technologies that can be used to get rid of the smell? And then every, it's a win-win. All of the community, the benefits, the school district in Carpinteria gets money, people get a business.
Well, I just need to clarify something. The schools in Carpinteria are not getting money from cannabis in terms of through the county. That is a myth. They're not, absolutely not. Certainly the cannabis industry has made private donations to the schools to, you know, in the tune of several hundred thousand dollars. But there is no direct relation between having cannabis cultivation and our schools in better financial shape in Carpinteria. That's not true.
So what's the argument today defending that? If I think it was a good idea, how do I defend that right now? Knowing now that there are people who are angry, that there are smells, there is this a closeness to the schools, what's the argument for it?
I think you're asking the wrong person. I mean, I don't see a lot of the upsides. We thought that, I think the argument would be, you know, this is going to be a big revenue generator for the county, and that'll allow us to do a lot of other things, social programs. But we just haven't seen it. The numbers have come in, you know, I guess it's going to be $6 million in revenue from the taxes, but most of that is going towards enforcement of the ordinance.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar, or get a coffee drink or fresh squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market in Delhi, open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Laura Capps, Santa Barbara Unified School District Board Member and a candidate for the Santa Barbara County Supervisors of District 1. So, you know, we've talked about the lack of collegiality among, you know, the U.S. Congress and Senate. What would you say today? You talked about, you know, going to Washington as a young girl and aspiring to be part of that. People aren't aspiring to go to Washington today. they have lower approval ratings than TV hosts. So what would you say to somebody who's interested in going to politics? What would you say if your son says, I'm going to be the third generation?
I say go local. I've in the last several years, seven in fact, I've been so focused on our local community and local government. And there's so many nonprofits and good ways in which you can impact change. That's my advice. I actually gave the commencement address to UC Berkeley's political science department this last May, and that was my message, is you want to get involved, don't just tweet, and you know, that's fine, hashtag this and that, and maybe show up to a protest, but just get involved in a nonprofit. Nonprofits are the way to really make change, and through that you can get to know your local government a little bit more. Sure, I mean, people ask me often about Washington, D.C., and I had a great experience. I worked with wonderful people when I was there. I was there, you know, in my early 20s. I worked with your son in the White House, and then I worked in the Senate, and I worked on a presidential campaign, and it was thrilling, and the impacts were big, and adrenaline, and, you know, major press conferences with major leaders, and met Bill Gates, and et cetera. But for me, in this stage of my life now, the local work, the grassroots work, and being in a community that I call it a community of caretakers, where we just, so many people are involved in really important parts of this community. It's good to be home, and good to live in such a wonderful home.
And while everything is local, just getting back to the national, you work with and had the experience of hearing and seeing from, you know, some of our great leaders, Clinton, Obama, Al Gore, John Kerry. What were the things that you took away from that experience that is sort of part of your mindset today?
Yeah, that's, you know, probably my most, I worked most closely with Ted Kennedy, Senator Kennedy from Massachusetts, and I learned so much from him about how to be really passionate about your ideals, yet also compromise and function and make sure you actually get things done. And that's a very hard thing to do. It's kind of easier to stay in your corner and rant and rave and espouse your views. It's another thing to still hold on to those strong values that are important to you, but work across the aisle or wherever it may be to actually move the dial.
And it's very hard, you know, people with a mindset that I have always complain about the other side doesn't listen. Mm-hmm. But I don't listen to the other side because I think they're wrong. So I understand the sort
sure.
of, you know, how once you have the truth,
right.
It's very difficult. It's like religion, you know.
Right.
If you have the truth, there's no reason to listen to the other side. And that democracy breaks down when that happens.
Democracy is born in conversation. That's something that my dad would say often, and my brother, it's what he's trying to do too and is doing with our Common Table projects around this wonderful community. And it's you nailed it. And you actually went back to our previous conversation about learning these things as a child is much easier than to try to learn them later. But that art of listening and the art of cooperation and the art of getting along and understanding people's differences right off the bat.
So do you have any events upcoming?
Oh, yeah, capsforsupervisor.com. We have tons of events. Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I have this wonderful house party plan where I'm just going into friends' homes, having coffee.
Do they know you're coming?
Yeah, I know. I just knock on the door. I bring my dog and my son. No, friends invite me to their home and, you know, invite their neighbors. And it's just wonderful. We're doing two or three a week. I have one tonight. About 70 women are coming. I can't wait. So that's a great way.
So that means I can't come then, right?
You know, we'll let you in if you want to come. We'll let you in. But yeah, it's a great way to get to know what is on the minds of people and to just talk to people one-on-one.
Well, that's great, Laura. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you come back more than every 3 years.
Hey, I love it.
And every time you come, you'll be probably going to the next round. And one day, it will be president and the first woman president.
Oh, my
goodness. I shouldn't say the first woman president. We may have one this time.
Let's do it.
I shouldn't put a jinx on that.
I'm ready to elect a woman president.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Laura. You've been listening. And thank you all for listening to AHA Presents About Education. And we'll see you next week. Oh,
It's